I'm Matthew Boyce.
I'm CJ Newsom.
And I'm Chris Newsom, and welcome to Branson's Best Shows podcast, a brand new podcast that the three of us are bringing to you about the great shows that are here in Branson. But beyond that, in the following weeks, we're going to bring you some great stars and interview them and tell you about their lives. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of great friends here in Branson, and they love to share all their experiences with you guys. So we're looking forward to doing that.
We've put a lot together. We're really excited to share this with you guys. So many great things lined up, and I'm really excited personally about where we're really going to take this. Get down to the stuff you guys want to know. I know everyone does TV interviews and radio interviews, but we want to make this a little bit more personal, a little more different, and see a different side of these performers because, you know, we've known these guys for so long that we're all kind of like family out here, so we can get a little bit more of the deeper stuff. So we're really excited to bring you some really cool content.
And that's the wonderful thing about Branson is the entertainers do get along really, really well. And that makes us, like you said, friends. So we get to bring them to you every week. Now, before we get to those people in the following weeks, we want to let you know a little bit about ourselves so you can know where we're from, what we're doing. And why don't we start with you, Matthew?
Yeah.
You're the newest one to Branson. Mm-hmm. When did you move here?
So the day town got shut down from COVID, I parked my car in Branson, Missouri.
Ooh, that's a rough day to be showing up in Branson.
Well, you know, it's gotten even better like a little bit before then. So I had a really quick story about coming to town because, unlike a lot of other people, I had never really heard of Branson before. So I was doing some road gigs, and I had friends in the area that we were working together on a show. And we were doing a road date a little bit outside of Branson in a city called Columbia at a casino. And we were doing the show, and I was staying with a friend here in Branson. And I just fell in love with Branson and the people and the food and Hertz Donuts and things like that. And it was really quick decision. I decided this is kind of where I wanted to end up for a bit. And we cold called so many different venues and theaters and put together a show very quickly. And I was in Branson 2 weeks after I signed a contract, and that's just happened to be when town shut down. So
perfect timing.
Perfect timing. It was really good timing, and I had some great reassurance from an awesome general manager at the Americana Theater.
I wouldn't know who that would be.
That was like, oh yeah, town's not going to shut down. It did. So, but we had some fun, though, and it gave me a chance to get to know everyone in the theater and the musicians and the staff, and I got a side job, and I was renovating trailers for a bit just to make the bills pay for a bit. And but we had a fun. We were actually the first show to open in Branson post-COVID, so that was really cool, and it was great to see Chris and CJ with the news stations, because being one of the first theaters in Branson to open up post-pandemic, there were a lot of regulations at the time, and with temperature checks and masks and distancing and all that crazy stuff.
It was an exciting time, I can tell you that.
It was different, and because no one really knew. Even I'm from New York, so we had a lot of crazy things happen with theaters in New York, but man, it's just, I've never seen anything like the distancing and the people coming still wanting to support live music, because tourism didn't completely stop. It was different to see Branson, because I had never seen it like it is now. I've never seen it busy. I've never seen the roads congested until this year, really this busy. And last year was a little bit busier, but man, the first year I was here, I was like, man, I had no idea, you know, what the real capacity of Branson was.
And how great the visitors are. We love you guys coming and visiting us.
Oh my gosh.
Now, you started when you were really small, didn't you?
Yeah. I was always a fan of Elvis. And as a kid, I was listening to it constantly. My grandmother and aunt were really big fans. And my parents worked full-time jobs, so I ended up at grandma's house a lot of the time. So listening to the music and watching the TV and wanting to watch Blue Hawaii and his concerts, it was a flashy thing for me. Every other kid had like G.I. Joes and stuff, and I had Elvis dolls. And it was just it was different. And you know, my dress-up time was jumpsuits, and I had little, you know, I wanted jumpsuits, and I clipped little things onto my shirts and jackets because I thought it looked like Elvis, and I just always kind of wanted to be what I thought was my superhero, I guess. And
well, it wasn't long before you started winning awards as, I mean, it was
early.
Started that really quickly. I mean, you not only wanted to be Elvis or an impersonator of Elvis, you were good at it too, which is amazing.
I mean, I was a kid, you know, and it was cute for a while, but then I got to an age where I was like, okay, I can't be cute anymore. I was riding the cute factor, and I, for a while, didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I did theater a lot. Being in New York, theater was very accessible,
sure,
and I could do a lot of performing. Spotlight was easily found, so I could I did about 50, 60 shows theatrically, Broadway style, and then developed my own music for a bit, went to school for music business and audio technology and songwriting, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do for a while, and that's when I decided to pedal the metal with Elvis, and that was when I was about 16, 17, I got my first touring gig.
Wow.
Professionally doing it, and then before then, I had already racked up a few accolades, and then throughout college, teachers started to hate me because I wanted to travel and do gigs, and what I was learning in class, I was already out doing, so that's when I decided to kind of ditch the books, and that's when I decided to move to Branson, and I've had a lot more real-world experience out here compared to school. I've learned so much more from, you know, these folks sit next to me and other performers in town and other theaters, other musicians. I've learned so much just being thrown into it and instead of having to read my books. And I think everyone has a different learning style, but I'm very hands-on. So for me, this felt like one big internship, a paid internship. But it was really...
Well, I learned sometimes paid. Sometimes.
Once a year, I get something. But they have a nice cage for me upstairs, so it works out. But it's been great. I can't even begin to think what I'd be doing right now if it wasn't in Branson, because when pandemic, it was just
crazy. What does your family think about what you're doing? I mean, because that's a big change. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, sometimes dads want you to go follow whatever they were doing, or they want you to be whatever.
For a while, you know, my parents, when I wanted to go into performing full time, there was support. It was always a matter of how I was going to make money, because doing road gigs, you do big ones every once in a while. You get a nice paycheck, but that's great. And being Elvis, everyone does Elvis. So there's so many guys in competition. So it was always like I was making money 1 month, and then I'd be off for 3 months, and then I'd have like 3 or 4 really great gigs in a row. So it was always like very sporadic, and I'd have to make that money stretch. And I was doing a lot of part-time things, and of course I didn't want to be working, you know, at a restaurant my whole time. I'm trying to make this entertainment thing work. So Branson looked to me like it was going to solve all my problems. I could be performing full time. If I needed more money, I could work at a restaurant. I could serve. I could sing and serve. I could still perform while I'm serving. And, you know, I could figure out ways to make it work. So when I first said I was moved to Branson, they, of course, helped me with the push. And I mean, judging by how quick I got out here, there was support.
There were a lot of support.
Yeah. But for the first few months when town was shut down, it was definitely hard for a bit. And I thank unemployment and them for helping me and my parents for being supportive and believing in that, because it was definitely a rough 3-4 months before we really got full throttle people coming to town. And even once the shows were full open, we were still hitting low crowds all around, just because we didn't know what tourism was going to be like for a while, and we wanted to see how it went, and we wanted to test the waters, and we were kind of glad we had smaller crowds for a bit, because theaters did fail at some things. We didn't know what distancing was going to do. We didn't know people were going to react, and tourists did react differently than we thought sometimes, and people minded the social distancing, then they didn't mind. So it was a lot of trial and error in this first year of seeing how we were going to do this. We didn't know how long the masks were going to last, and so I think, you know, the first year was really great, and they were very open to me staying out and seeing how it was going to go. Let me lose my money for a bit and just, you know, try it. Because, I mean, if it worked out, I think we all thought it would have been a great time for me. But now that it's full on, you know, they're so thrilled. They come down a couple times a year. And
I was about to say, didn't your dad not really know what Branson was going to be like?
Because
from what he was telling me, mm-hmm. the little bit I talked to him about this was he expected something completely different than when he came and saw what this is like.
So both my parents are business. My mom's financials and my dad ran restaurants. So from business aspects, they look at everything financially first off, just as with a good business sense. And I say, okay, well, you know, well, if we have a brand new show and numbers are this, and we have this many people here today, and money looks like this, and like, well, how does that work? How do you find people? How do they show up? Where do you do this? How do you? And then it's like, you know, they finally come to you. Have to see it to believe it sometimes, because a theater isn't just people sitting down and watching a show. A theater is people coming into the theater, watching the show, buying a drink, buying popcorn, buying the merchandise, buying through the gift shop, telling their friends about the show. Then their friends come back and see it. They tell their ticket sellers about it. They post on TripAdvisor and Google and Facebook about the show. It's like a ribbon effect, and it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. So once they saw it, you really had to see it, because there's nothing like it. You know, we don't really have a tourist destination like Branson. And Atlantic City's close by, but it's nothing close to the level.
Branson is a special place that I feel blessed to be able to work in and
Perform
in and help performers make their dreams come true and entertain audiences. It's great.
And it's so weird because I had such a weird niche. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, Elvis. And then at one point, I wanted to do Elvis. I wanted to do theater. I wanted to be a magician. I wanted to do ventriloquism. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do all these different things. I wanted to be Elton John. I wanted to play piano. I wanted to play drums. And then I come to Branson, and Chris goes, all right, cool. Well, you can be a performer. You can do sound. I have a magic shop. You can play drums. I'm like, wow. I'm like, Mom, you're never going to believe it. Like, it just all kind of, you know, all fell right into it. And it's quick. But, man, it's I've gotten to play around with every single field I've thought about ever wanting to pursue here in Branson. Whether I liked it or not, I got to try it and I got to do it and see, this isn't for me, or yeah, I really like this. And I found great things. Like, I would have never thought I wanted to, you know, play drums full time. I love playing drums. I love doing that. And I did it for sessions in college and for friends, for bands and fill-ins, but it was never like I want to play drums. And then, you know, it's been a really cool thing to not have to sing for a bit and just back people up, because that's the band is part of the show.
Yes.
And it's really cool to explore all different parts and the backstage stuff and stage managing and sound and lights and learning the tech aspects of a theater. There's so many things that, folks, if you knew how many hours went into programming lights and music and videos together for a Branson show, it'd be, you're talking hundreds of hours just to open a brand new show. So just learning that from the ground up.
It just doesn't happen. Now, speaking of, we've sort of culminated to, you're in a bunch of our shows here at the Americana Theater. By the way, we are filming here at the beautiful Americana Theater in the heart of the strip of Branson, Missouri. You have your very own show that you helped develop.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So Elvis Story of a King's a brand new show to Branson, and it's unlike any Elvis tribute show that's really hit the Branson Strip before. There's been so many Elvis shows in town, and if you've been coming to Branson for years, you'll know a lot of the familiar faces, familiar names, sounds, songs. Elvis is no stranger to the Branson Strip. So we knew when bringing another Elvis show to town, we had to do something very different, because a concert it's done, it's been seen, everyone's, you know, doing these replications of Elvis, and we wanted to do something very new, exciting, different. We have so many talented musicians, singers, dancers, actors, and we have some great utilities here at this theater with videos and lighting and I think an in-house family really that wanted to come together and put this story, you know, on stage, on its legs. So we took the story of Elvis and basically told it like a movie, live on stage in front of you. We have...
Before the movie came out.
we put this together before the movie came out, and we told the show through the lens of Elvis's mother, looking down on all of his crowning achievements. Now, Elvis's mother did pass away early on. If you've seen the movie, you know the story. You know, this story is really told from the viewpoint looking down on everything, saying how proud she is. It's a really cool concept, and we start all the way in his humble roots in gospel in Memphis, in the churches, in the revival tents in Tupelo, and the songs he was raised on, and go into his TV appearances. We create Louisiana Hayride and Ed Sullivan, and we go through his time in the Army and in some of his biggest movies, Blue Hawaii, Viva Las Vegas, and man, we cover the 68 comeback special with the black leather, his Las Vegas residency when he debuted, his jumpsuit look with songs like, you know, Suspicious Minds, In the Ghetto, that were released in 1969, 1970. And what I think is one of his biggest crowning achievements was Aloha from Hawaii in 1973, because that had such a big reach, bigger than the moon landing. Billions of people watched this show. And it was really a capstone on his career. I think it was one of the biggest things he did, and the record sold, and the show is still watched this day. It's one of the most iconic pictures of Elvis is Elvis with the white eagle jumpsuit and just perfect hair. And
which we do live on stage.
We do live on stage. We do all of it live here in front of you. These aren't videos. This is really happening with singers and dancers to help flow the story. Vintage instruments, microphones. It's one of the most authentic productions in the world right now in that regard. And there's not many other shows that touch everything else. And I might be wrong on this, but I'm looking at everything else that's going on with Elvis. I don't think there's any other show open right now in a place like this, where it's long on running on the road anywhere. You know, this is with a live band, dancers, singers telling the full story of Elvis. This is a once-in-a-lifetime show you can come out and see. And we're here 3 days a week all year long in Branson. We would love to have you guys come out and check it out. It's something so different and new to the Branson Strip, and I'm so blessed to have been, you know, getting some great reviews on TripAdvisor for it, and we love that people are liking this new style because we didn't know how it was going to do with theatrical.
And I got to say, your voice is so good.
Thank you.
You really do have that rich, deep, low voice.
You should hear me sing live, let me tell you.
Oh, don't say that. But yeah, no, it is amazing. Your moves are great. You really have a great look to you. Yeah. So, it's, you know, we're real pleased to have you here and helping host this podcast and doing all the things you do here. And that's the nice thing about Branson and this, at least the Americana Theater, mm-hmm. what they're letting us do here and what we're doing here is pretty neat.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Now, I'm really interested because I've been here for quite a few years, but I've never really gotten into like the nitty gritty of how CJ's really gotten here. And she has her own show in this theater as well. But I know this, the Americana Theater isn't your first venture in Branson. I know you're a local, you've been here for a while, you knew the scene. But what really made you want to have your own Branson show? What did you see? What did you do? What was your inspiration to do something like this? Because it's just like, I mean, for me, you know, I didn't know anything about it, but you grew up around it. So I don't know. Did you think, like, was Branson always like an attraction for you as a kid? Was it a big thing? Like,
yeah. I mean, wow. Wow. What, I don't know.
It's a big question.
Start.
I just, let's start with like, let's talk about, so Branson to you when you were growing up, did you look up to it?
I sure did. From the time I was 3 years old, I fell in love with music. I was constantly singing to the radio. Mm. And I knew, you know, how you ask most kids, they go, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? All I knew was a singer. I feel like, yeah, I was sort of in your position of, this is what I love to do. How am I going to use it? But I grew up not far from here, about 20 miles east of Springfield. It's mm-hmm. about an hour from here, a little place called Rogersville. And we always spent our summers and our weekends in Branson. And it was always just a very special time. Like I said, I started singing from an early age, and in fact, I sang in Branson at an early age. I entertained a lot over at a resort, Treasure Lake.
Cool. Yes.
I did, well, a multitude of things, actually. Just, you know, a lot of people, as you get to know the people here in Branson, they invite you to different events, and just things start happening.
So you were really young trying to audition for shows here in town, right? Like,
well, yeah. That came a little bit later. I started auditioning when I was about 15 or so.
That's still pretty young, though.
No, given, but didn't you get a audition and a call when you were a little younger than that?
Yes. Wow. Okay.
It's almost like you're married, folks.
We're giving you the details that she obviously wanted to skip over.
No, no, no.
So we're going to make sure you get the full story.
I'm glad you asked that, because this is not a memory that I would want to skip over. This is actually really a dear memory to me. You know, because a lot of Branson history, I fell in love with a lot of the entertainers here. And one of my other favorite shows was Country Tonight. Takes you back a long ways. It's now the RFD Theater. Many entertainers have entertained there throughout the years. But years ago, I believe I was 12, possibly 13. It was my first audition. I forgot about that. And I made it. Now, at the time, we weren't living in Branson. I made the audition, and this was back in the 90s. Branson was... was a wild town back then, because at the time, Country Tonight was doing two shows a day, 6 days a week, and I think I mentioned my age. I was 13 at the time, and my parents, they thought that was too much work for a youngin' to do, aside from the fact that we hadn't even moved to Branson yet. We moved to Branson when I was 16, and I auditioned a few shows. I auditioned at Silver Dollar City, and the Lord had other plans for me. I thought I wanted to be out there and be in the saloon.
Oh, you would have been a nice saloon girl.
I auditioned there too, but I didn't get in.
They somehow didn't want you to be a saloon
girl
either.
Didn't like my legs at the time. I was a little bit heavier. And just,
well, the bar, you know. No. No, but I... I got to perform some at the Jim Stafford Theater on Sundays.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I performed actually for several years over at the IMAX. Mm-hmm. With James Garrett over at the Tribute to John Denver. And I was playing the role of Miss Olivia Newton-John.
Oh.
We were flying
Which
away
is, you know, have you heard the sad news?
I actually did.
Yeah, she yeah. passed away. That's sad to hear.
Boy,
sad to hear. Anyway.
Right
yeah,
there.
Man.
I performed in his show for 7 years. I'd been close friends with James, and he asked me to be a part of his brand new show, and so mm-hmm. I was excited to do that as well. And then not long after that, well, I'm trying to get all the events in order. It's been a nice run here in Branson because we came to just to tell a story on you and I.
Uh oh.
We
just
came.
Just you and I. This is why I don't sing. Anyway.
We came to this theater back when the Haygoods were performing at
Absolutely.
The Americana Theater. Yeah. And this was how many years ago?
More than I can remember, okay. And if you asked me on the spot, I can't, but if you would have asked me before, I could have calculated it out and looked like a brilliant person and known the answer.
Probably long enough that if you asked me what year it was, I would have been in grade school.
Yeah, it was over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was probably 12 or 13 years ago. It was when they were residencing here. They had just taken over and renovated and done a wonderful job yeah. on making it just a gorgeous theater.
Yeah.
So at that time, we were sitting in the audience right about there.
Right about there, that's right. And you leaned over to me, tapped me, and you said, you know, I think you can do this. And I said, what? He said, have your own show. And he put the bug in my mind at mm-hmm. that point, and I'd always secretly wanted it. I guess I just thought it was a little far out of reach. Mm. But, you know, in Branson, what you need to do is you need to not only have a great idea and a great concept for a show, but you've got to have a good business manager, and that's what my husband Chris is. He's a fantastic business manager, and so we little by little we put our show together. And I don't know if that was part of the questions that you asked me earlier or not, but I was going to talk a little.
Well,
bit
it is now? So
I'm just mixing things up, aren't I?
No, this is good. I love hearing this. So
okay. So
you had the show. You saw the show here, and then you guys. He wanted to take on this endeavor.
Yeah.
So, what was your first venture you tried in Branson? Where were you? What did you do? What was the first thing you guys attempted?
Well, I was the most familiar with the IMAX,
mm-hmm.
And so I knew all the management, knew a lot of the folks over there. Talked to them. And I said, you know what? I've got this great idea for a show, and they said, well, we're kind of full. We don't have much available right now. I said, I know, but I think I know just the place. And they've got the Elite Cinema One over there. It's movie theater, but it's the first theater over there, and it has a stage on it. I said, I've got this great idea for a show, and I'd love to do a morning spot, you know, maybe do a show.
And by morning spot, she means 9 a.m. downbeat, which means the show starts at 9 a.m. because we had to be out and cleared by the 11:15 movie.
Yeah, that wasn't my original intention. I tried to pitch that basically I wanted to do a 10 o'clock morning show and them to cancel their morning show.
But they did not agree.
They didn't see it that way. So if I wanted a show in Branson, I needed to do it at 9 in the morning. And when we started laying out the calendar. We were 6 days a week at
wow.
9 in the morning. We started out on March the 5th. I wanted to pay tribute to Miss Patsy Cline, and March the 5th was the day that she passed away.
50th anniversary.
50 years to the day,
yeah.
In fact. And I just thought it would be a wonderful time to do it. And I was sort of trying to figure out if we needed to sell a cup of coffee with each ticket. I didn't know exactly how this 9 o'clock thing was working. Because I had to get up at 7 in the morning just to warm up.
Yeah.
I mean, singing Patsy is hard enough, but singing
yeah.
Patsy at 9
at
in the morning.
At 9 in the morning. That's rough.
That's
yeah.
a rough one. That
I couldn't just walk
time.
Through the door and smile and watch a show.
There's a reason I don't sing morning shows.
Yeah.
It's because I'm not even up for our
yeah.
2 o'clock shows. So.
But it was great work because his mother, my mother-in-law, she went around with me promoting at all the Continental breakfasts in the morning. I mean, in Branson, you kind of, in order to do a first-year show, you kind of have to do a lot of groundwork. Mm-hmm. And so we went to all the continental breakfasts that would allow it. We talked to the management and such. And I would walk in and I would sing crazy and try and win their hearts.
And you did a great job.
You know, I mean, we were successful that first year. I was kind of surprised. I mean, I'm hopeful, obviously. But, sure. I mean, at 9 in the morning, I didn't know exactly what we'd be getting. And we averaged, I don't know, about 20 people. Or
about 20, 25, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it made the bills for the size crowd we have. Yeah. And the venue we had. We had
a full five-piece band. I mean.
And they were getting paid peanuts.
Well,
not literally peanuts, but
I mean, you think about all the shows in town too. You think about all the shows that are at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and yeah. You think, wow, like if this show can get 30 people and this show can get 60, there's a lot of people to go around in this town that are in town at every time. Yeah. That there could be hundreds in one place, hundreds in another, 20 here, 40 here. Like everyone's all over the place.
Yeah,
it's not like the town's dull with entertainment or a lack of people.
Well, you know, and not to mention usually. When people come into town, they have their plans made.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with that a lot. And
you want to fit into those last few slots people are trying to fill.
Which is a perfect segue to our sponsor, the Americana Theater. come see all the great shows here. We do have a lot of great ones. And you can check out our website at AmericanaTheaterBranson.com. AmericanaTheaterBranson.com.
Now, and I want to do something really special for these people.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a lot of people listening. And this is our first episode.
First inaugural, I can't say that right. Inaugural.
And I didn't mean to step your toes. I know I'm just thinking about this.
But okay.
So we have a great kickback program here that we offer to people once it's their first show. Their shows for the year are 50% off, and it's something different that a lot of theaters do. A lot of theaters do a few dollars. We want people to come back. We love our Americana family, as we call it. So 50% off, but. These folks listening right now, you know, I think you guys are our new family. So thank you guys for taking the time to listen to our podcast and tuning in. I think if you guys call the box office, let them know you heard us on the podcast, that you saw us, you come to the box office, let us know you watched us, listen to us. Let us know where you're looking at it, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Music. Let us know where you're listening to this podcast on. But just tell the box office that we told you you could use the half price code. Just call, say, I heard on the podcast, half price. That's your code. You call the boxes. We'll take care of that deal for you. We'd love to have you come in and see all the shows here. We're all year through New Year's Eve. And we're going to talk about our New Year's Eve show eventually
on
the show.
Yeah.
But
and that's half price on all our regular shows. Yep. Now, we do have specialty shows like that New Year's Eve show or some one-offs that come in. That, unfortunately, can't work for those. But it's a great deal. And you can call the box office at 417-544-8700. It's 417-544-8700.
Yes, so give us a call and take advantage of that deal. We would love to have you here at the Americana Theater. Now, CJ, let's pick up where you left off. You were talking about...
After the IMAX came Dave Hamner's Theater.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hamner's Variety Theater. We were there for 2 years. We were matinee show of the year over there.
Wow.
And we went leaps and bounds in that time period. And while we were in that time period as well... I had a very special experience, and thus far it's been the experience of a lifetime. I went to go see Miss Brenda Lee in concert. Wow. And, you know, I'd always wanted to see her. She came to Branson. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. And she performed over at Andy Williams Theater. And she put on an amazing concert. Now, I don't know how many of our viewers are familiar with Brenda Lee, but she's always been known as Little Miss Dynamite. And, I mean, it's true. She's just Little Miss Energy, just hopping across the stage, if you will, still just full of life and full of
energy.
What's
her number one song she did? What's the one everyone would know?
Probably I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's a good one.
Beautiful ballad. She did several upbeat numbers, Sweet Nothings.
Oh, she also did a Christmas song, too, didn't she?
Yeah, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
That was Brenda Lee, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's huge.
She was young then.
So.
Man. I forgot about that.
It's one of my favorites, too.
That's a great one. But anyway, you were at the concert.
So, yeah, I was at the concert. She put on this amazing concert. And then she did something that I've never seen another entertainer do. She said, okay, we're here in Branson amongst, you know, all these entertainers and stars. I need some good singers to come up here on the stage with me.
Ooh.
And so me and about 20 other people proceed to come up on the stage with her. And she says, okay, I'm going to go through the line, and I want each of you to say your name and where you're from. So when she gets to me, I said, hey, you know, I'm CJ Newsom, and I perform a show here in town paying tribute to Miss Patsy Cline. And, of course, I knew that would get her attention because her and Patsy were very close. Mm. So she finished the line, and then she came back to me, and she said, what's your favorite Patsy Cline song? I said, Crazy. And she said, well, what key do you do it in? I said, B-flat. And she goes, all right, fellas, play her a little. And so right there in front of God and everybody, I got to perform for Miss Brenda Lee.
Excellent.
It was the opportunity of a lot. I felt like I was singing for Patsy Cline herself.
That's awesome.
I got her phone number afterwards. And
Brenda Lee was pretty impressed with what she heard you sing.
She was. And just very sweet, very humble.
So it's almost like hearing Patsy sing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was her exact quote.
Wow. Yep.
So
what a cool memory. Yeah, that's awesome.
Nothing is really quite taking the place of that yet. I've had some amazing opportunities in Branson. Branson's made that possible for me. Because, you know, when I was younger, I had dreams of maybe moving to Nashville or something elusive. I didn't know really what I wanted to do. But when my folks moved down to Branson, I got my first job down here and kind of settled into Branson and realized how much Branson has always felt like home. It's beautiful because it's a big tourist town, if you will, but it has this small hometown feeling to it. And I'm sure you experienced a little bit of that, you know, being from New York.
Yeah.
Was that one of the things that kind of impressed you at first? I mean,
you know, so I have a little bit of a weird situation with New York because I grew up, of course, in New York, but not with like a city vibe. I grew up in a similar tourist situation to Branson. You know, we're a horse racing town, so we have a lot of tourists coming in. But, you know, we have a lot of tourists come into town, and we all know our locals. It's a pretty big population, but it's the family vibe we have here in Branson where everybody kind of knows everybody. It's different. And it definitely was weird at first because everybody knows everything within 5 minutes of it happening out here. And that definitely didn't happen back home. In New York, you mind your own business or so it's, but here it's you're friends with everybody or else you're not part of it. You know, you got to be involved and everyone hears everything. Everyone knows everything. So,
well, and that's the neat thing I feel about the fans, you guys that come and see these wonderful performers on stage. The thing that makes Branson so nice, so different than almost anywhere else in the world is the entertainers are approachable.
Yeah.
The entertainers go out after the show in the lobby, take photos and sign autographs and hear the stories that we want to hear from you. You guys tell us about how we impacted you or about your family and your kids, and we love to be able to hear that and get to know you guys. And that's one thing that makes Branson great. And it also makes certain entertainers, many entertainers would come to Branson thinking, oh, it'll be just another place to perform. They get here and they realize, no, you come off the stage.
Yeah.
You can't just perform and exit the back door and say, see ya.
Yeah, I'm glad
we really get to be able to reach out. And I tell you what, I love it. I love it. It makes this experience so much richer than other places where if you were to perform and just leave, you don't get that interaction and those relationships built.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that, actually, because that's what I was thinking. And I think that's what gets our return customers, our return viewership. I mean, you begin to... I mean, all people, all entertainers, Garth Brooks, I mean, everybody, you know, we're all real people.
Yeah.
And that's the attraction, the magnetism of Branson. And I think that's what has sustained it throughout the years and made it what it is, actually.
And that's what this podcast is about, Branson's best shows. We're really focusing only on the shows. We're not focusing on the attractions, though we love them. We are so glad the attractions are here. We're so glad the golf courses are here. The lake is here. All these wonderful things that bring you guys here to visit Branson. But shows are what we know. And entertainers are what we know. So that's what you're going
to
get here.
Now, speaking of what we know, I have to bring this up because I think this is absolutely hilarious. Chris, you have no background before working in Branson in producing shows, so you've learned a lot in your time in Branson.
Correct.
From other performers, other
Correct.
Theaters, other great general managers you've talked to, great producers. You have some great people on your team. Now, you were working in engineering, or
yes.
you were studying it. You have a background in magic. You've done so many different things. What really made you say, you know what? I want to run a theater. Because you had some great paths, some really good money-making paths here. So what made you want to say, I want to rent a theater in Branson? What is?
I'm a chemical engineer from Texas A&M University, Giga Maggie's, class of 99. And I thought, that's a solid plan B.
Yeah.
I moved here. We started the Magic Shops, which was fantastic. We had one at the IMAX where I met this lovely young lady. A few years ago.
He made my heart disappear.
Yes.
can't find it.
And I then got the Magic Shop out at Silver Dollar City, which I'd worked at before. We've actually owned the Magic Shop out at Silver Dollar City for almost 20 years now. And then we had one at the Celebration City. I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
20 years?
Yeah, almost 20 years we've owned that Magic Shop.
Man.
And then out at Celebration City as well. If y'all remember Celebration City, I love Celebration City. I was the only shop that made money out at Celebration City. But I didn't understand why they didn't just keep it going just for us. But,
right.
We loved it. And I know many of you guys love Celebration City as well. But anyway, we were doing all that kind of stuff. And got married to this lovely young lady. She learned magic, much to her chagrin. And, of course, she was performing there at the IMAX, which made it nice. We had a couple kids. We have beautiful kids,
yeah,
two of
kids
them.
Yeah, our kids learned to walk in the IMAX.
Absolutely, yep. And so we have two kiddos. And once we were sort of done having kiddos, I went, you know, it might be time to start doing a show. It's the right time in our lives to be able to take that risk. And boy, is it a risk.
And then it took off. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Because you didn't just go to, I'm going to be running a theater
no.
in Branson.
No,
you know?
I never thought I'd be running a theater. This was the last thing.
It's like
on
having another
radar.
Kid. You will never be ready to produce a show. You need to just do it because
yes.
you think, oh, I need to do this. I need to prepare this. I need to make more. No. You need
you
to
do it
or else you're not going to do it because you'll think about everything and you'll back out. So you just got to really just...
Well, we started, we produced at the IMAX, which was a very little low risk, which was great. And we found some success there. Like I said, it was not huge, overwhelming success, but some success there. And I thought, hey, so I called up my good friend Dave Hamner. I said, hey, Dave, do you got an afternoon time slot? He said, sure, we'd love to have you over there. So we came over there. He said, spent a couple years there. And then we have good friends, Matt and Amber, from Number One Hits of the 60s. They actually were running the Americana at the time. They said, hey, next year, we'd love for you to be a night show. Now, we were afternoon. We started at 9 a.m. for 1 year. Then 2 years, we were at 3 p.m., and that was exciting. And they said, hey, we want you to be a night show 3 days a week. I'm like, that's great. On the strip at the Americana Theater, who could pass that up? So we moved here, and we started learning more about theater and taking being. I got more involved in it. Mm-hmm. Me and the technical director, along with their technical director, was going through and rewiring the theater back to what it should be like because it had been the Haygoods did a great job. Then some other people take over time and had made sure to. Do some interesting things in the theater. So we got it back up and running the way it should have been done. And it was very exciting. And we had a great year. Barry Williams was opposite us at night, Greg Brady. So it'd be Greg Brady one night, then C.J. Newsom, which was at the time Patsy Cline and Friends,
yeah.
then mm-hmm. C.J. Newsom later on. Mm-hmm. So it was great. And then Number One Hits of the 60s, they were running the theater, and they didn't really mean to be running a theater. Because running a theater is hard. It's a lot of work. And they did not want to run a theater. They just wanted to run their show. They wanted to do their show, get off stage, say hi to you guys, get off stage, and go home. So they said, hey, Chris, we're going to take a spot at Clay Cooper's Theater. We don't want to run the theater anymore. Which sort of threw us in a tailspin because we weren't going to run a theater here. We couldn't afford to run a theater here. So we went around and found some deals we thought, and they fell through. And this deal came up, and it fell through. And it was really interesting because God sort of just moved us through, because there was no way I thought I could take on the risk of running this theater. So he moved us through all these things, and we went, well, for that rate, we could continue to rent here at the Americana Theater. That's the way to go. And so we took over the Americana Theater, which at the time, we were just going to rent show slots. We were going to do our show and then rent out the rest because we were going to share the risk with others.
Mm-hmm.
What we did not realize is many Branson shows fail after 2 months of doing a show, and the rent goes on. It's sort of like the beat, okay?
Yeah.
So you'd have a show open. Mm-hmm. They would have a time slot. In fact, there was 1 year here where we were dark half the nights and most of the afternoons. It was CJ plus our good friend George Dyer was doing a show, but it was a pretty rough year. So it's been exciting. So we grew over time. I got to meet this guy in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited to get him to come and rent and spend money at the get to know him.
Great.
Did a great job. It was a lot of fun. But I saw real talent with him. Matthew Boyce is a really, really talented guy. And I thought, we really need to get him in more what's going on here. And I realized that there's not that many people renting shows anymore, mm-hmm. wanting to rent the time slots. So we had to start producing shows. We ended up having Raiding the Country Vault come here, and then we ended up producing that, which got my toe in running other shows than just CJ's show. And then we added a show and added a show and added a show. Now we have 5 shows we produce here and 2 we rent. So it's been pretty exciting. But I'll tell you what, I'll wake up in the morning. Now, remember, this is entertainer morning time, so it's like 11 or noon. But I'll wake up and I'll roll over, and my phone is just full of messages,
mm-hmm.
of fires I need to put out, things that have happened. Hey,
not real
fires, luckily, but it does make it pretty exciting. So but I tell you what, I wouldn't trade it. I love mm-hmm. it. I love the experiences I've gotten to do being here, getting to know all the entertainers, producing shows, sitting in the sound booth, and seeing some dreams come to life. It's been really amazing.
And over the last couple of years, too, it's gone from, you know, a lot of, from renters to producing very quickly. A lot of shows came in very quick, and I've been doing pretty well. I mean, from Awesome 80s, we had a show for the last couple of years that was Rock and Roll Royalty. That was another thing. We were getting our feet wet into producing tribute productions.
Yes.
And between that and British Invasion and things that are coming down the pipeline for next season that we're so excited to tell you about coming up here in the next couple of weeks, just these more, everyone's coming with these great ideas to the table from this family we have here in this building. Everyone is so talented. Everyone has great ideas, and we wish we could put them all on stage, but man, it takes an army to really narrow things down and build the best entertainment possible.
It really is, and we do have a wonderful team here, and that makes a big difference, because it's not just Matthew producing the show, CJ producing the show, me producing the show. We have a ton of people behind the scenes that are able to give us ideas, turn the corners, make it happen, tell us, no, that is a stupid idea, and never, ever do that again. And it's great, because it allows us to get the best performances on stage, and that's why I do feel like Americana Theater does have some great shows here. Now, understand, this podcast is not just about the Americana Theater, but we do want to get you an idea of what we are, who we are. Then, but we know there's great shows in Branson.
Yeah,
and absolutely. So we're going to be, that's the whole point of interviewing other people. But we figured, hey, you need to get to know us, what's going on here. And
absolutely. And what we've done, too, between their experience with IMAX and Hamner's, this theater, CJ being a local, Chris knowing all about the scene, you know, and I have a different perspective because I'm kind of fresh to the scene here, but I've worked a lot of places very quickly here in town, too, so I've gotten to meet a lot of people. So I'm really excited for all the things we have planned coming up here soon.
And that's the great thing about Branson, is it has some of the best shows that you can see here, and we're going to be bringing those people to you. We're going to be able to get them to come here, get their stories of how they started, the funny things that happened on stage. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Reach out to us if there's anything you'd like to see here. We'd love to have you let us know where you're listening to us from, what you're liking about what we're doing, and what we can change. We're brand new at this podcast. None of us have done a podcast before, so we're excited to be able to bring you good content, solid content, but it's about Branson shows, the best Branson shows to you every week.
But until next time, I'm Matthew Boyce.
And I'm CJ Newsom.
And I'm Chris Newsom. And we will always be bringing you Branson's best shows.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.